We will continue here with the subject of self-appreciation, excerpted from a group dialogue with Abraham in Salado, Texas in 1990.
And now what is it you're wanting to talk about?
The inner voice, inner guidance. I wanted you to, we've talked a lot about the blending process, but I'd like, if you would, to cover more of the more commonly understood methods of receiving information, such as hunches and inspirations and what's called the sixth sense and so on and so forth, and things such as automatic writing and things. I found a book the other day about the founding of the Islamic religion, and that it spoke of Muhammad, that he was went off into the woods and a voice began speaking through him. And then he had a scribe.
How odd.
Isn't that weird? And they would put a sheepskin over him or a big cloak, and they could hear this kind of groaning and grunting and things, and then this voice would come out, and then a scribe would write, and the Quran was written by a scribe just taking down the words that were coming from out from under this blanket kind of thing. And that's the way that in essence evolved. I think they let someone, one time they opened it to see what he looked like under there, and they said he was really perspiring, but well, I'm not being funny. I guess I am, but I don't mean to be funny. It would be hot.
It's all right.
As I read further into the booklet, it spoke of that great respect was given for Jesus and Moses having received in the same way, and Abraham having received in the same way, and I forget, a couple of the other prophets I had made a note of, that the Quran and that Muhammad was receiving information, that they were following in this line of reception. In other words, that was 600 years after the time that we think of Jesus on earth. And I see a lot of the information is primarily the same, particularly primarily the same as the Old Testament. So my point with all this is, it seems to me that as Esther is receiving, although we don't have a blanket, it seems to be the same concept. In other words, in the beginning there was a lot of grunting and groaning. But I was telling Esther, I think it's because we've had so much practice. We do it so many hours, so many days, and in this way that we do it, it has this tremendous flow that we see. You know, I watch Esther's hands, or what you do with her hands and the motions while she's talking, and it just amazes me the amount of pictures that are going on with the body language, even not just the voice. So would you please discuss the wide, if you can, in this few minutes that we have, the wide gamut of methods of receiving a higher or broader perspective of guidance?
First, we would like to say that without exception, all who are currently physical have access to infinite intelligence, and that the way that you bring it forth is not by pinpointing some non-physical guru or God and then accessing that specific personality. It is by identifying what you are wanting, and by law of attraction allowing that thought, essence, or energy to come forth. There is not one who does not have ability to receive, while there are many who do not have desire. And so it is really the process that is experienced is as individual as the seekers of the process, you see. Very often, as physical beings, you are wanting to pinpoint the source of information. In fact, that is the way you define whether it is credible or not. You want to check out with your physical proof. And what we would like you to understand is that that is an impossible task also. It is not possible for you, nor is it of any value, to identify the source from that which you are receiving. What is of value is understanding how what you are receiving fits in with what you are wanting. In other words, is what I am receiving of value to me right here from my current set of desires and beliefs, or is it not? As we have watched physical man upon the earth from the beginning of his emergence upon this physical place, we have noticed his desire for guidance, his desire to be right or to do right, his desire for goodness. We have also noticed his reluctance to accept that he has any way of knowing that himself, and so always looking out of self, or usually looking outside of self for this guidance, when all along, and without exception, every teacher that you have mentioned, and many that you do not even know the names of, have been encouraging you to look within for that guidance, that the guidance comes forth from within you as an individual, and that that guidance is absolutely supreme. The guidance comes forth in so many ways. You are receiving, as you said, hunches or inspiration, motivation to do something, impulses. All of that sort of thing is nothing more than that broader knowing, knowing all of the things that you know and want, encouraging you toward that which is in harmony with what you want. Most of you put your hunches or your inspiration or your impulses or your motivation, your guidance, way down on the bottom of the list while you look in some ancient book for direction. And we say, what a funny thing that is to us. You say how nice it would be to have a God who is aware of you. You pray to him and say, do you know me? Do you hear me? Can you hear me? Please respond. Please give me what I am wanting. When all along you have within you a guidance that is not sitting off somewhere apart from you, but is within you, that has always been within you, that is aware of everything that you have ever thought, everything you have ever touched, everything that you have ever felt, everything that you have ever wanted, all the things that you know and hope to know, your inner being is aware of. And your inner being is with you at every moment to assist you in understanding the appropriateness of sitting in this chair, the appropriateness of walking in this door, the appropriateness of sitting where you are choosing to sit, the appropriateness of the timing of your journey, the appropriateness of everything that you are embarking upon. Your inner being is absolutely aware of and prepared to give you moment by moment, segment by segment, detailed inspiration, guidance to assist you in making the best choices as you are moving along. Not the choices that will be good 10 years from now or 100 years from now, and not decisions that are no longer in your power, that are somewhere in the past. Choices that will suit you best right here in your now, where your power is, you see. And so that is really the inner guidance that we are wanting to turn your attention to. Now, we know that as you are sitting and watching some expression from non-physical coming through this woman, that you can see that as a viable means of communication. We are here as teachers to stimulate your thought through this format. And we know that many of you have the ability and the desire to have a similar process. And so we say to you, the way to go about that is to recognize that it is within you and spend some time identifying what you are wanting to know and allow it to come forth. In other words, talk, ask questions. If you went to a library and said to the librarian, I would like a book, please, she would look at you with a rather odd look, for as she has millions on her shelves, she would like you to be a little bit more particular about the subject, you see. And when you are talking with infinite intelligence, it is of great value for you to pinpoint, at least somewhat, what it is you're wanting to talk about, and then to listen and expect some sort of communication. Many of you, by virtue of what you believe, or even by virtue of what you desire, are not wanting to sit around with friends and talk with a weird voice. And we are understanding that. But all of you are wanting guidance.
To clear up something before you go any further, if you don't mind.
She's offering you the microphone.
I don't need it. I'm going to yell. Thank you, though. Oh, what the hell?
Power of influence abounds.
Yeah. So, all right. So, but living in a culture where you're taught that there's value in pain, and where you're taught that it's valiant to suffer, and it's and that you grow through pain, and that you're doing good as you detract from yourself and as you give to others, and that the best way to gain is to give. And then you hear the voices. And the voice says, go kill that one. And then that person tells the psychiatrist, well, God told me to kill her or him. Then there's the others say, well, the devil told me to kill him. And so they're hearing the voices, And because they've accepted that it's okay to, and valiant to feel terrible inside, they'll go ahead and do the dirty deed, feeling terrible all the time, and not really gaining, but feeling that they're listening to the voices. How do you distinguish the difference in the voice that... How do you distinguish the difference in the voice from the non-physical dimension that leads a person into discomfort, even though the inner being that seems to be separate from that voice is saying, this is not where you want to go, but the other part, the I am an humble being and I must obey my master, goes ahead and does what the other voice says that's bringing them pain. Is that a clear enough question? Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
When you are interacting with non-physical,
right,
the laws apply just as they do in the physical.
Right.
You attract unto you the balance of your thought.
Right.
And so if you are a being that is very much filled with negative emotion, and you are coming from a very strong perspective of lack, and you are aware that you have the ability to interact with non-physical, from that position of negativity, it is consistent with the law that you would attract something that would be consistent with your negativity. As you are seeking that which is uplifting, you cannot attract that which is not. As you are seeking that which is not uplifting, you cannot attract that which is uplifting. In other words, by identifying what you are wanting, that is the way that you attract what you are wanting. Now, what brings forth your question?
Well, I see people wanting inner guidance and doing reaching the non-physical in a variety of ways, but the beings they get lead them into things that are and do say things and do things that are very make them feel negative and are negative to me.
There again, the reason that that occurs is because they are not listening to their own guidance. That is like saying my high school chums made me do it, or the society influenced me, or my mother had an influence on me. It is just another scapegoat. That is what we are saying. When you begin to recognize that the non-physical exists, your relationship to the non-physical in that regard is really not different than your relationship with the physical.
Like I shoplifted as a kid, well, as an adult, because my friend was a shoplifter and told me what a fun it was.
And did you have fun?
I had excitement.
Was your experience positive or negative?
It was positive excitement for a while. It was like climbing a mountain or driving too fast or getting in a big fight.
As you are recognizing that your inner being exists and you are seeking communication, there are a number of ways that it will come forth.
Since this is on tape, I better clarify something. It was positive because I justified it, that those people were stealing from us poor people.
You are still justifying it.
Those people were stealing from us poor people, and it was okay to take it back. And that's what my friend told me, and it sure fit with the way I believed at the time. And then when I realized it wasn't okay, one day, after 1 year of doing it, I quit. I thought, this is ridiculous. And it was over.
It is not where you got this. We are serious when we say to you it is not necessary for you to justify, for there will always be those things that you are wanting to do that someone else does not think is appropriate for you to do. And the tendency is, as you are talking about something that you believe someone else does not want you to do, is to begin to justify. And when you get in that mode of justifying, then you're right back in the mode of negative attraction, aren't you? You have experienced, some of you, the Ouija board, which is a game that is known by physical and non-physical, where non-physical energy can interact with you, giving you information. If you are looking for an avenue into frivolous friends, that is the one we recommend. For that has long been known as the game of contact, and there are many in the non-physical who are eager and willing and ready to play the game. What we encourage, if you decide that you are wanting this sort of interaction, is that you identify clearly what it is you are wanting. Now, some say, the board does not work for me. And we say, usually if the board is not working for you, it is because what you want is something that is uplifting and meaningful. And for the most part, those from non-physical perspective that are eager to play the game with the board are not looking for someone who is seeking something that is uplifting or meaningful. They are frivolous beings that are just wanting somebody that they can exercise their influence about, you see. And so for the most part, we are not saying always, but for the most part, certainly at your level of understanding, we are not anticipating that you would have a very satisfying experience seeking your guidance in that way. Why? Because your inner being understands that you are beyond that. Your inner being is really wanting you to be at the point of following the guidance that comes forth from within, with recognizing the block of thought that is being offered, recognizing the emotion that is behind it, you see. Esther said to us, Abraham, what do you think about spelling it in the air with my nose? I would like to play that game a little bit. And we had a very good laugh about that here. We thought, why would anyone who has evolved to the point of perfect interaction want to go back to the beginning of time? And in many ways, for those of you who are here, that is the way we see the Ouija board for you. It is like going back to something that is very primitive, where a block of thought can be offered only one letter at a time when you are capable of receiving so much more. What are you wanting to know about this? Let us get down to specifics.
Can't you use the pendulum for that? Isn't that connected to your inner being?
Certainly. And if you are trusting it more, and if you always have one in your pocket, and if you're always in a position where you can get it out and use it. During earthquake, it is not recommended.
But it also answers only yes or no.
Correct. And you may trust it in the same way.
And I use it very often. I've had very good results with it.
The only reason that we are encouraging the other as being a little bit more valuable is that you're always with you. And your pendulum is something that you must keep in your pocket or something. We are wanting to encourage you to reach the point where you can receive instant communication. We are wanting you to trust your own impulse to respond rather than something that is apart from you.
Well, I do that too.
Good.
At the office, for instance, it's very easy for me to use a pendulum where it isn't easy for me to sit there and nod my head.
Good.
But I think that's an excellent way to get yes and no answers.
Indeed. And you'll get better and better at formulating your questions so that you can have quite a nice conversation. Many of you have them all the time. With one another. One does all the talking and the other goes,
I have to write a dissertation, and what I discovered for years I've been very much wanting that will come from an inner flow. And I feel I've been preparing for it for a very long time, but I have trouble just allowing it. Do you have anything to say
to
really sharpen that process?
Many of our physical friends who recognize that they have access to infinite intelligence really believe that all they have to do is get their passageway open, which they accomplish through meditation and alignment of energies, and then they sit around waiting for great words of wisdom to come through them. Here I am, give it to me, you see. And that is a little bit like what we were saying earlier, like checking into a library and saying, give me a book, please. You are the creator of your experience. You are the attractor of the information. And so the more pointed you are about what it is you're wanting to say and why you're wanting to say it, then the more power you will draw from the universe. Get your energy flowing in one direction. Now that is really what the greatest benefit of this inner guidance is all about. Do you understand that you are more than you see here in these physical bodies? Are you understanding that there is an inner part of you that exists and has existed for hundreds, thousands of life experiences, a very wise, older part of you? And do you understand that this inner part of you, and we are speaking to those of you who are here today, this inner part of you exists in a place of powerful, positive, passionate emotion? Are you understanding that you have access to the energy of the universe? Are you understanding that you are always plugged into it? And do you know that you contour this energy by thinking? You say, I want more information about that. And you literally, by using the power of the universe, connect yourself with your desire. The energy is the bridge between what you have identified that you want and you. So that there is this steady trail or channel or passageway or rut, whatever you are wanting, groove, that connects you to what you want. And it must come to you. It is by law that it can come no other way. Now, this is the way inspiration comes, by identifying clearly what you are wanting and then knowing that because you have identified what you want to know, that it will come forth. By law, it must, unless you do something to mess it up.
That's correct.
And what might you do to mess it up? You doubt. You say, it's not coming. You say, where is it? Or you say, I'm not smart enough, or I'm not good enough, or I'm not open enough. And so then what you're doing, the way you're messing it up, is you're sending energy in two opposing directions. So even though you have dug a trail, you have dug a trail, and so it's going right past you. It's not coming to you, you see. Just be more specific about what you want and more expectant. Now, this is the most important part when you are interacting. Well, it is true whether you are involved with the physical or the non-physical, but we are really wanting you to hear this point. Sometimes you are not in the place where you can hear the answer that you really want to hear because you have some other sort of belief that is standing in the way. And so trust that your inner being, your inner counselors, have taken note of what you are wanting. They have written it down somewhere. They have logged it in the computer. And when they notice that you are at a receptive point, then you will get it. It might come in a dream. It might come through the inspiration of another. One of your cohorts in the physical might at the moment be open, and so they will give it to them, and that one will speak it to you. It can happen in hundreds of thousands of different ways, you see. It will come to you through the crack of least resistance. All you have to do is identify what it is that you are wanting, and then keep your eyes and ears open, looking for the positive aspects of what you seek everywhere, and then it will come to you very fast. You are following? It is wonderful once you acknowledge that there is nothing that you cannot know. There is nothing that you cannot do. There is nothing that you cannot be. A better way of stating it is, I can do anything. I can have everything. There, whatever it is that I identify must come unto me because by law, it can be no other way. And that is the way you enhance your trust or your expectation. Remember, in order to create anything, want it and allow it, and it is. When you are allowing, you are not resisting. When you have negative emotion, you are resisting and you are not allowing. When you have positive emotion, you are allowing what you want. When you have negative emotion, you are allowing what you don't want. With everything, there is the positive and the negative. When you are feeling positive emotion, you are allowing what you do want. When you feel negative emotion, you are allowing what you don't want. And both can't come in at the same time, so they sabotage one another. You are getting the picture? Good. What more? Let's just go here first.
Are there others for me to listen to? The reason I'm asking that is I'm reading a book about gardening with nature, which this person says that there's a carrot diva that she listens to, and there's also a regional spirit that tells her how to garden.
Certainly, the universe is filled with those who have valuable information for you.
Okay.
You are the attractor of it. You are the identifier of what it is you are wanting, and then the information comes to you from a myriad of sources. Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Indeed.
Abraham, you certainly have a sense of your bodily previous dimension, do you? Or
we have no interest in it.
Oh, no. It's not part of your... Are you like a whole entire inner being?
What you are hearing as you are hearing this projection is a combination of many inner beings. a group of us are gathered together, and what you are hearing is the consensus of the group. That is the reason that as a group of you gather together, it can be a powerful exchange, because your inner beings are involved in the exchange, you see.
And so you have a sense of a communal presence, but can you separate and just be on your own?
By law of attraction, that which is likened to itself is drawn. And so in the areas that we are in harmony, we are automatically gathered together. But we have the ability as individuals to put our focus anywhere that we are wanting. However, we choose to be together because we are more powerful. Mm-hmm. We are feeling greater progress, greater growth, greater mm-hmm. ecstasy, greater joy. That is the beauty and the value of co-creation. Mm-hmm. More is more, you mm-hmm. see. And so once you've experienced the communication with many, the singular is not as satisfying. Many who are in harmony. Now, we're not talking about just getting together in big numbers. Big numbers is not satisfying. It is harmony that is satisfying, you see. And so as we are a group of beings who have for a very long time, if you will excuse the word that does not apply, been focused upon what we are wanting, then as a group who have been focused upon what we are wanting, as it is all the similar or same, by your standards it would be identical, by our standards it is similar, we are gathered together.
Are words like fusion, intense communion, things which can reflect your state of being, or
clump.
How earthy.
Bunch. You are getting the picture. It is as, let us say that each of you represent one bucket of water, and there is a great big swimming pool that is out there that is empty, and so each of you dump your bucket of water into the swimming pool, and then this one says, I'm going to go get myself out. It would be very difficult for her to ever again separate her bucket of water from the others, as they have all mixed together.
Is it,
puddle.
Do you feel like a magnetic strength port, like the magnet going to the piece of iron or together?
It is that sort of thing. That which is likened to itself is drawn. Mm-hmm. We are not egotistical in the way that physical mm-hmm. creatures are. We are not caring to identify ourselves as individuals, because our state of being is very satisfying as we are. We accept that we are one, and we acknowledge that we are one with all that is. It is not, from the non-physical perspective, it is not as important to us to isolate ourselves and pat ourselves on the back for what we've accomplished. We are just enjoying that which we are. And since we don't care what anyone else thinks, then there is no reason to separate ourselves for any credit or any value. We're just living happily ever after by our own standards, you see.
And could you tell us more about your processes of learning?
Same as what we've been talking to you all weekend. We understand the laws, we focus on what we want, we do not give attention to what we do not want, and we live happily ever after.
And it's going to change all the time, you evolve, and
our ideas of what we apply these laws to will eternally evolve. In other words, there will always be a new subject. That is the value of our gathering together. What is the time?
You have 90 minutes.
You see, it is, so many of our physical friends believe that which is non-physical, no matter what label you are giving it, is complete, that it is perfect or finished. And now the non-physical is just sitting around dangling their feet over the edges of clouds, waiting for the rest of you to catch up, you see. And that is not the way that it is at all. We are all eternally growing. And the reason for your physical existence, the reason for our physical existence, because we are all one, the reason that you have emerged into this physical sphere to have this very intimate, very intense interaction, is that we may all come to greater acknowledgement. You see, this gathering has never been before unto all of the universe. This combination of beings has never been. That which we have talked about here today has never been as it has been this time, you see. And while you are a very small group gathered here, your corridors are filled with non-physical beings at all levels of wanting and understanding who are here interacting, you see.
So you are in a way physical if you connect with them.
And you are in a way non-physical.
Yes, it's the same.
Absolutely. Where are we?
On the subject just a moment ago, when we talked a little bit about the carrot divas, I wanted to know if you could give a description or explain a little bit about the different kinds of, the difference between the elementals, the divas, the angels. For example, my cats are very, apparently can see these, because sometimes we'll be sitting there and they'll be very peaceful and quiet and I'll hear nothing and they'll start looking and chasing invisible things in the room. And I'm wondering, is it little elementals that they see? Is it little divas that are popping around? Can they see those things from another dimension? And would a diva or an elemental ultimately, as they're protecting or guarding their particular function, do they evolve ultimately also spiritually so that they can ultimately be, say, evolved to a level where they can contribute as a group such as Abraham?
Everything is in the state of evolution. But the intent has to do with whether the evolution occurs or not. Everything that you see upon the earth is being maintained by focus from the non-physical. In other words, as you look at your magnificent nature and your magnificent balance, it is not an accident. It is not just happening out there. It is happening by virtue of the attention or the anticipation or the expectation that is being offered from non-physical. And so it is possible that what your cat is seeing is a piece of lint floating that you are not seeing, and it is also possible that he is catching a glimpse of some light or something from non-physical. When we begin trying to describe the non-physical through your physical eyes, we get very swiftly into the realm of fairy tales, because we can't explain it to you the way we experience it, because it is outside of what your senses allow you to see. And while we resist the idea of fairy tales, we do not resist the idea of helping you to understand the broadness of your being, you see. Esther said, "I want to see you," and we said, "Open your eyes," and what she saw was a room full of fireflies. Fireflies to her representing energy, but that is only because we had spent many hundreds of hours prior to her finally becoming brave enough to want to see us, where we had talked in terms of being energy, thought energy. In other words, she had a great reason for interpreting what she saw in that way. If we had spent the last 5 years talking to her about being angels, and she had said, "I want to see you," we assure you that when she opened her eyes, she would have seen a very bright and beautiful angel. Many of you have seen angels, you see. And so it all depends upon what you are expecting. That is the way you translate it back. What we are wanting, and you may have noticed it as we have been interacting with you through the weekend, in fact, through all of the interactions that we've had together, what we are really wanting is for you to acknowledge the value of your physicalness. In other words, it is important that you understand the broadness of your being, because that will enhance the value of your physicalness. But we are really not wanting to take you off into Never Never Land, where you are trying from this perspective to explore the non-physical realm, because at best it would be like going to a motion picture and viewing it from under your seat, where you can't see the screen and you can only hear part of the sound. We say, don't waste your time with those sort of partial experiences. You can see the non-physical when you're focused in the non-physical. Your inner being has wide view of the non-physical and will absolutely tell you anything from non-physical perspective that is important to you here as you are focused here. And that is the way you fulfill the purpose of being here. Some of you say, "I do not feel important about being here." And we say, if it were not of tremendous importance that you are here, you would not be here. And then you start feeling guilty. Shouldn't I be doing more? Or do I have the right to leave? And we say, you are absolutely dominant in your intent here. And you will never find yourself judged as having done something inappropriate from any other perspective. What you are wanting and what you have wanted even before you emerged is to be in a state of well-being. You're wanting to know your value and your worth. And what you are experiencing from non-physical and from physical perspective is a perfectly balanced triad of intentions. The intent of growth, the intent of freedom and the intent of joy. All of them intricately intertwined. You cannot separate one from the other. And so as you are having your quest for growth, sometimes you attract more than you can physically deal with and you get overwhelmed. And then you get focused upon how much you want joy. How does it happen? You get overwhelmed. You feel negative emotion. The negative emotion is telling you there is something that you want, but you're currently not feeling it. What is it? Well, I want more joy. I want more of a sense of freedom. You get focused upon that. The overwhelmment stops. Now you are feeling freer. Then as you are feeling free, you cross over the line. You start feeling lackadaisical and lazy and like you're not moving fast enough. So what happens? You get negative emotion. You say, what is this negative emotion? Well, it is because I want more growth. And so now you focus on growth. Now the lackadaisical goes away and more of what you're wanting to receive. You see, as you are paying attention to the way you feel, you get yourself in the perfect harmony of these triad of magnificent intentions. And that is the way you continue to move forward. You cannot do it without being attuned to your inner guidance, which simply means pay attention to the way you feel. Get it? Indeed you do.
Before you go... before you go, I'm going to pass this on, but we have a picture of Esther and we have a picture of Jerry, but we'd really like a picture of Abraham. Could you just smile, Abraham?
You are wanting us to smile?
Please.
Wait, we are not ready. We are wanting to get into our perfect Abraham position. Let's see, what might that be? Show that to your friends and they will say, that must have been a miserable weekend. That one looks mean. We were attempting to look very teacher-like. Are we out of time?
Yes, we are. Well, you have a minute.
Let us bring this segment to a close and then while you are preparing recordings, we can chat a bit.
Yes, you sure can.
We've enjoyed very much this interaction, and we know that you have too. We are sensing that you are aware your guidance has been awakened within you. And if there is anything that you are knowing, it is that you are wanting to feel good, agreed? And that is how you know that your guidance is working. When you feel good, you are upon the path of that which you are wanting. There is great love here for you.
Thank you.
We are complete. I think they could smile.
It's really rare to get a smile out of them.
And that concludes Special Subjects Album, Volume 2. For additional tapes, books, catalogs, or to reserve your space at an Abraham Hicks Science